I reassured the ghost, but he broke out, protesting, "No winning words about death to me, shining Odysseus. By God, I'd rather slave on earth for another man, some dirt poor tenant farmer who scrapes to keep alive, than rule down here over all the breathless dead. But come, tell me the news about my gallant son. Did he make his way to the wars? Did the boy become a champion, yes or no? Tell me of noble Peleus, any word you've heard. Still holding pride of place among his Myrmidon hordes? Or do they despise the man in Hellas and in Phthia, because old age has lamed his arms and legs? For I no longer stand in the light of day the man I was, comrade in arms to help my father, as once I helped our armies, killing the best fighters Troy could field in the wide world up there. Oh, to arrive at father's house the man I was for one brief day. I'd make my fury and my hands invincible hands, a thing of terror to all those men who abuse the king with force and wrest away his honour." So he grieved, but I tried to lend him heart. "About noble Peleus, I can tell you nothing, but about your own dear son, Neoptolemus, I can report the whole story if you wish. I myself, in my trim ship, I brought him out of Scaros to join the Argives under arms, and dug in around Troy debating battle tactics. He always spoke up first, and always on the mark. Godlike Nestor and I alone excelled the boy. Yes, and when our armies fought on the plain of Troy, he'd never hang back with the main force of men. He'd always charge ahead, giving ground to no one in his fury, and scores of men he killed in bloody combat. How could I list them all, name them all now, the fighting ranks he levelled, battling for the Argives? But what a soldier he laid low with a bronze sword, the hero Eurypylus, Telephus's son, and round him troops of his own Citian comrades slaughtered, lured to war by the bribe his mother took. The only man I saw to put Eurypylus in the shade was Memnon, son of the morning. Again, when our champions climbed inside the horse that Epeus built with labour, and I held full command to spring our packed ambush open or keep it sealed, all our lords and captains were wiping off their tears, knees shaking beneath each man, but not your son. Never once did I see his glowing skin grow pale. He never flicked a tear from his cheeks. No, he kept on begging me there to let him burst from the horse, kept gripping his hilted sword, his heavy bronze-tipped javelin, keen to loose his fighting fury against the Trojans. Then, once we'd sacked King Priam's craggy city, laden with his fair share and princely prize, he boarded his own ship, his body all unscarred. Not a wound from a flying spear or a sharp sword, cut and thrust close up, the common marks of war. Random, raging Ares plays no favourites." So I said, and off he went, the ghost of the great runner, Iacchus's grandson, loping with long strides across the fields of Asphodel, triumphant in all I had told him of his son, his gallant, glorious son. Now the rest of the ghosts, the dead and gone, came swarming up around me, deep in sorrow there, each asking about the grief that touched them most. Only the ghost of great Ajax, son of Telamon, kept his distance, blazing with anger at me still for the victory I had won by the ships that time I pressed my claim for the arms of Prince Achilles. His queenly mother had set them up as prizes. Pallas and captive Trojans served as judges. Would to God I'd never won such trophies. All for them the earth closed over Ajax, that proud hero Ajax, greatest in build, greatest in works of war of all the Argives, after